Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John 3. And while you are turning there, in Proverbs 23, in the 8th part of verse 7, the Word of God says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You could say it this way. The contents of a man's frame of reference define the man. Because the heart is a person's frame of reference. Pastor Stevens gave that beautiful, elaborate definition of the heart. Best definition I've ever heard. I could not even begin to repeat it to you from memory. But the bottom line, if you took his entire definition, is he was describing the frame of reference. The contents of a man's frame of reference, woman's too, but the contents of the frame of reference defines the individual. This is who we are. We are the contents of our frame of reference. Now, this is the experiential reality of a person. This is not the positional truth of a person. Positionally, and by positionally, of course, I mean who God says we are, and that is ultimately who we actually are. But we deal with these two realities, position and experience. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, we become who we are in our position. And our experience is continuously conforming to our position. Now, as a man thinks in his heart, the contents of a person's frame of reference defines who the person is. So as we are becoming who we are, as our experience is becoming conformed to our position, the transformation takes place in our frame of reference. Guard your frame of reference. Guard your frame of reference. Believer after believer who loves the Word of God becomes careless with guarding their frame of reference. And they allow things in that damage their frame of reference. Influences from the world, lust patterns, anything that is apart from God and God's heart, law. They allow these influences into their frame of reference. And when that takes place, their frame of reference becomes eroded. And an eroded frame of reference cannot experience its position. In other words, we can never experience who we actually are in Christ with an eroded frame of reference. So God, in His Word, deals with the heart. Really, the whole idea behind receiving doctrine, behind growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, is to deal with our heart. God is continually dealing with our frame of reference, with our heart. Now, in 1 John 3 and verse 20, the Word of God says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Let's park there just for a moment. If our heart condemns us, that little phrase, condemns us, it's much different than what we may think it is. That is katagenoski in the original language. It's a present active subjunctive. If is the portion, a conditionality that is subjunctive. Okay. The real story there is in the present tense. The present tense means that it's happening in a fashion, in a way that it is moment by moment, incident by incident. I encounter something, I think something happens, I do something, and my heart condemns me, incident at that time, and then it repeats again for another incident, and then it repeats again for another incident. It's continuously going on. If our heart condemns us like this, condemned and condemned again and condemned again and condemned again, then God is greater than our heart. Now the phrase condemned us, it's out of the words kata and genosko. Kata is out from, and genosko is knowledge. It's actually talking about to know something against someone, or to condemn, but if you break down the meaning, it's actually say to know from the frame of reference. If we know something from the frame of reference, God is greater than our heart. Now here's the thing about knowing something from our frame of reference. Our frame of reference is not a source. Our frame of reference is a container. It needs a source to fill it. The Holy Spirit, utilizing the Word of God, is the source for our frame of reference. But if our frame of reference becomes our source, then we enter the same condition that Adam and Eve were in after they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Our frame of reference becomes our source, and so we are the source of our knowledge. If I'm the source of my knowledge, forget it. I'm cooked. If I'm the source of my knowledge, it's going to be natural understanding. It's going to be walking by sight. It's going to be walking by hearsay. It's going to be evaluation apart from doctrine. It's going to be thinking apart from the heart of God. I don't have the capacity to be my own source. If my heart is the source of my knowledge, God is greater than my heart, and God knows all things. God knows all things. Again, genosko, all things, is panta in the original language. Again, it's a present active indicative. In other words, point for point, God matches me. I know something from my own source, and God matches me with His source. Point for point, God matches us in our lives. And what He's saying there is God knows everything, everyone, individually. So God knows the situation I'm in, yes. God knows what brought me there, yes. God knows my genetic makeup, yes. God knows my history, yes. God knows the history of the situation, yes. God knows the history of everyone and everything that's involved, yes. God knows all things. So if my heart thinks it knows something against me, from my natural frame of reference, God, on the other hand, knows all things. Individually. Everything involved. Everyone involved. Individually. He knows them. God is greater than my heart. What it's saying is that my own frame of reference is an insufficient source. When Adam and Eve had their frame of reference become their source, the first thing that happened is they got afraid. They got guilty and condemned and insecure and afraid. They started comparing themselves among themselves. That's why it was a problem when they saw that they were naked, because the first thing you see when you compare yourselves among yourselves is differences. This one's like this, and I'm like that. And you see the differences. And no longer do you see them as members one of another. Eve was a member of Adam physically. But no longer did he see her as a member of himself, and no longer did she see herself as a member of him. They saw differences. And because of those differences, they became very insecure. And in those insecurities, they try to cover themselves. And then God comes along. And then the consciousness of their mistake comes in. And they have to remove themselves from God. God never said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge, you get an evil, I will remove you. God said the only solution for you is going to be death. But they removed themselves from God. Imagine that. What is in the frame of reference that somebody would remove themselves from God? Like, what were they thinking? God's going to be harsh to us? God's going to know? That's a rich one. God's going to know. God knew before you did it. God's going to know? God's not going to be who God is? What was in their frame of reference? See, the whole point of that is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The very thing that they actually needed to resolve their situation was not to hide from God, but to run to Him. But because there was this prohibition and the consciousness of sin came in and guilt, and then fear that resulted from that guilt, they hid themselves from Him. And where do they hide themselves of all places? Among the trees. The trees were the problem in the first place, and they hide themselves among the trees. This is what we do. We hide ourselves from God in our own natural understanding, in our own natural frame of reference. When in Proverbs 3:5, God says, don't rely on your natural understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But when we get into a situation where we've separated ourselves in some way, at least in our own estimation, from God, then we try to resolve it by separating ourselves further with our own natural understanding instead of running right to Him. Do you see the futility of that? The heart is deceitful. Your natural frame of reference and my natural frame of reference is deceitful and desperately wicked, and there is no possible way for you to grasp this. You cannot know your own frame of reference. You don't know your own condition. The soul cleaves to the dust. The soul cleaves to the dust. Isn't it bizarre? When God gives warning, for example, God warns people in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 through 31. God warns people, this is what's going to get you in trouble with God. This is where people become deserving of death, of separation from God. This is where people send themselves to hell. This is what reveals that they were not saved, not that they lost their salvation, but that they never even had it. And He says, these are among the things that do it. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, in other words, totally void of faith. Fornication, my goodness. How many people, even Christians, are out there fornicating, wishing and longing for fornication, when it's going to send them into hell? What kind of a frame of reference is that? They want to fornicate. Hey, why don't you do this thing? It'll give you a certain amount of time, fairly limited amount of time, of certain amount of superficial pleasure, and all you have to do is go to hell for it. For eternity. Isn't that a special deal? Blue light special. I should say red light special. And all it's going to do is send you to hell. Oh, but he's so cute. Oh, but she's so hot. All it's going to do is send you to hell. Oh, I don't believe that. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and you have absolutely no way of knowing it. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. This thing behind people's back is what it actually means in the original language. Speaking evil of people behind their back. That's going to send people to hell. It's not that they lost their salvation, it's they never possessed it. Even what they appear to have will be taken away from them. Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. This is the crowd right here. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents, young people listening on the internet, disobedient to their parent, you're a 15-year-old teenager and you think that mom and dad are stupid, you may want to be careful. It may be indicating you're not even saved. You see, but the heart is deceitful. You get a little puffed up. You see, this is one of the things. I mean, I worked for years with teenagers, and one of the funny things about teenagers is that time when the brain starts to actually work a little bit and these thoughts start to enter, and they think they have the world by the horns because they now have thoughts in their head. And they didn't have those before. So there's great understanding in the thoughts they have in their head. And because these thoughts are there, they must be right. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Without understanding, covenant breakers, they can't keep their word. Wow, imagine that. Somebody who's unable to keep their word is actually not saved. Without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. How about this one? Gossipers. Wow, you mean to gossip is to reveal that I'm not saved? You look in the Word of God. It's in your Bible. You figure it out. To speak evil means I'm not even saved. It's in your Bible. You figure it out. You ask God. I'm just telling you what it's written in Romans 1. You ask God. Debate. It says debate. Argumentative means I'm not even saved. Critics. I'm not even saved. I don't know. That's what it says in your Bible. You ask God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you ask God. If this is your lifestyle, you ask God. Because you may have some issues going on. See, this is the way it works with sin. And it doesn't matter what the sin is. When this temptation of sin comes in, I don't care if it's outward sin, I don't care if it's mental sin. When this temptation of sin comes in, it has this certain progression. In Proverbs chapter 7 and 25, it says, "Let not your heart decline to her." Who's it talking about? Sin. Now, in that particular context, he's talking about a temptress. But it's really talking about sin. "Let not your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." You know, that's something to consider the next time somebody's seriously thinking about sin. Every person receives temptation. Because there is a tempter out there who's the enemy. But when you want to actually go down that road, you're thinking about stuff like fornication or drugs or alcohol or gossip or slander or maligning somebody or speaking evil or being envious or being argumentative or rebellious to mom and dad. You see, this little part, her house is the way to hell. That's serious business. People have seen hell and doctors brought them back. And they say it is exactly as the Bible describes it. It said that the flames reach up to meet them. It's exactly as the Bible describes it. That's some serious business. And it all comes from the wrong frame of reference. It all comes from the wrong frame of reference. You trust your frame of reference? You trust your own self as a source? going to lead you down this road. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me your heart. Give me your frame of reference." God says, "Give me your frame of reference. Give me your understanding. Give me your intellect. Give me your knowledge. Give me your thought processes. Give me your frame of reference." Now, God there does not say, "It would be sure nice if you could give this to me. Can I have it?" No, He commands this. He says, "Give me your frame of reference if you are my son. And let your eyes observe my ways. Let your perception take in my ways so that I can form your frame of reference." Folks, the frame of reference is who we are. This is serious stuff. The frame of reference is who you are. As a man thinks in his frame of reference, that's who he is. Who does God know you to be? Now, on the one hand, I know God doesn't see our sin. God doesn't remember our sin. Absolutely true. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit is within you. And sometimes He's grieved and sometimes He's quenched. Who does the Holy Spirit live with? It's your frame of reference. And so He says, "Give me your frame of reference. Don't be sloppy with it. Don't be careless with it. Don't let it entertain things out of your flesh, of the world, of sources other than myself. Because her house is the way to hell." Most people who enter into these things don't think to themselves, "Boy, I would like to go to hell." I dare say there's very, very few of them who would actually think that. But one after another reveal that they're not even saved. Now, I understand everybody has an old sin nature, there's a tempter, and all these things. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who goes into her house. In other words, I'm talking about the person who makes a decision and they're going to go with it. "My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Don't entertain what shouldn't be entertained. Give me your heart." In John 3:21, it continues, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." If we do not operate from the knowledge that is sourced in our own natural frame of reference, it is because we are confident toward God. That we trust God, that we trust His character, that He trusts His word, that we mix faith with what we hear in Hebrews 4:3. And when it says that, it's saying that faith and the Word of God proclaimed are merged into one entity. That the moment the Word comes, trust is there. If I have confidence in God, it's because I'm not relying on my own natural frame of reference as my source. And whatever we ask of Him, we receive from Him. How many people wonder, "Why don't I get answers to prayer?" The question is, where is my frame of reference? That's the actual question. They think it's about getting answers, but the question is related to the frame of reference. because we keep His commandments. And when we say keep, we don't mean perform. We mean we hold them in our heart. They become our frame of reference. His Word becomes our frame of reference, and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We have faith responses to the Word of God. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. What's your frame of reference like? What's your frame of reference like? Do you see like Adam and Eve saw? Or do you see like God sees? What's your frame of reference like? Ask yourself, it's an important question. What's your frame of reference like? Now the amazing thing is when I give my frame of reference to God, He transforms it. And when He transforms my frame of reference by the intake of categorical doctrine in the hands of the Holy Spirit, whereby His mind becomes my mind because His Word is the foundation of my thinking, it includes no striving, but it is the Word as the foundation for my thoughts because I've received His Word. And I received it in categories. Categorical doctrine is different than general Bible preaching. General Bible preaching has its place, but the teacher part of pastor-teacher had better be teaching categorical doctrine. Categorical doctrine can be defined this way. Most people, when they hear this term, if they even have any idea what it means, they think in terms of systematic theology. Bible doctrines broken down so that we can learn them in categorical or topical fashion. Yes, that's systematic theology, but that's not categorical doctrine. Take systematic theology and mix it with Holy Spirit application to the individual life. And then you have categorical doctrine. Is my mind established in categorical doctrine? If I give God my frame of reference, it's because I've received categorical doctrine to be my frame of reference. And then, in Revelation 2:17, in the B part of the verse, God knows my identity, and He reveals my identity to me. And in heaven, He'll reveal to me the fullness of that identity. I get to know myself, not according to my own flesh, which 2 Corinthians 5:16 tells me we ought not do, but I get to know myself according to the way that God knows me. And I start to accept who I am as God declares me to be, because now I'm thinking with His thoughts. And the amazing thing about the identity is the identity has tremendous influence over the volition. And when I start to see myself as God sees me, I start to enter who I am. When I get this categorical doctrine as my frame of reference, then 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12 says that though I used to see in a glass darkly, in other words, though I could not really see who I am because I had a natural frame of reference, I start to see clearly. I start to see with God's understanding, with God's evaluation, with God's estimation, with God's heart. And I no longer see myself as different or naked or ashamed or needing to hide myself, needing fig leaves, lacking this or that. Even if I fail, I don't see it. Instead, I always run to God's voice when He calls me. I always look for Him because I'm looking for more. Even in my failure, I'm looking for more of God. I'm looking for more. And what draws me to that more aspect is the heart that I receive when I have His frame of reference. Remember something, His frame of reference does not come apart from His heart. His heart is His frame of reference. And when I have God's frame of reference, I have God's heart. And when I have God's heart, I have everything that comes with it, including the ability to think, to decide, but also the ability to love, to be merciful or forgiving, the ability to have peace that passes understanding, to be content, to be able to wait on God, gratefulness, all the things that come with the heart of God, as we understand the heart of God even, become our experience when we have His frame of reference, His heart. Amen?